Good morning again, and I am just going to open in prayer. So if you want to bow your heads with me, please, that would be wonderful. Father God, thank you so much for what's already taken place here today. Jesus has remembered what you have done for us and continue, Lord, you just continue to love on us. Father God, I want to pray right now that as we come to this time, we're going to look into your word, that you would forgive me my sins and cleanse me, and Holy Spirit, please come fill me up. Lord, I pray this morning that my friends who are guys will not be too upset at me, and Lord, that they would hear from you, understanding that really, God, you're to blame for this, not me. It's your word. And Lord, I pray that the women who are here would be encouraged and would be built up and would aspire to marry one day a man who, well, Jesus loves you first before all others. So God, I ask, just as we are going to be looking at some things that are so counterculture today, would you just be here with power? In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, you're afraid, guys? Let me start with reading the passage we're going to be looking at this morning from Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. Starts off fairly well for us as guys. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, to which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, some of you ladies might be thinking, you got to be kidding me. On Mother's Day, you pick this passage because there's that verse that stands out in contrast to the world we live in, where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. And let's be really candid this morning, because in years gone by, that verse has been pulled out of its context by some men, in fact, some very pious appearing Christian men, have pulled it out and used it like a club. You know, come here, wife, look at this. It says right here, submit to me. It's in the Bible. That's what you do. Now, that's how it has, unfortunately, been used sometimes in the past. I actually think this morning on Mother's Day that this is a great passage to look at, because we're going to be looking at what it says to husbands. Not that one verse, but the passage. And then on Father's Day, we're going to come back to this passage and look at what it says to wives. And I'm thinking that many wives and husbands, not all, mind you, but many are mums and dads, as well as a wife and a husband. And a strong marriage relationship leads to a great potential for strong, healthy family life. And it seems, at least to me, to be a good fit for Mother's Day. And if you're here today and you're not a mum or a dad, well, you may be one day. And ladies, if you are single or you're a single mum, there is great wisdom in this scripture to the kind of man you want to one day marry. And in this passage, the wives are addressed first, but there are far more instructions given to those of us who would be husbands. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands are told to love their wife. You know, it's kind of funny in this passage. Nowhere in it are wives told to love their husbands. But husbands are told to love their wives. You see, we need to understand that God created us and he knows us. And through Paul, he puts this out there for us. Men, you need to love your woman. And we all know what we're like in the early days as we are in pursuit of the love of our life. We had time and energy committed to our girl. You know, we wanted her to know that we loved her. Some of us would drive for hours to see our sweethearts. And we would talk and talk and talk. And we would stare into those beautiful eyes. We would even write letters if we were going to be separated for a time. And some of us guys even made attempts at poetry. I think, you know, maybe it wasn't the greatest poetry, but we made attempts. We were creative in our thoughts to show our girl just how much we loved them. And we did not care about the money. We didn't care, you know, about the time or the energy that we put out. And sometimes all we put into that relationship almost bordered on ridiculous, but we didn't care because we were in love. We were in pursuit of the woman of our dreams. And that day came when we said, I do, or some said, I will. Our pursuit, our investment of time and energy, it paid off. We now had a wife. We had conquered the relationship. And as we returned home from the honeymoon, we gave our love a kiss and wondered, what's next in life? And the woman of our lives may have wondered, what happened to the man they thought they were marrying? Now, we still love them, but other things needed our attention. And not that those other things were more important, because we would never say that, because we value our own safety. We don't want to enter into a world of hurt. But our actions would speak louder than words. And we need to be so wise as men. Now, ladies, you need to know that the great majority of men are wired in such a way as to get out there and get things done, to conquer tasks, to conquer projects. And this is actually a great strength that God has given us as men. But at times, it can cause hurt in our relationships. And it is why God is telling us as men, as husbands, that we need to love our wife. That we need to love you. See, marriage is not a project that you start and finish. No, this is ongoing and is, in fact, one of the greatest privileges, honors, and responsibilities that we have as a man, as a husband, that we would love our wife. And do you know who holds the key to an incredible marriage relationship? We do as men, Christian men. We have been designed by God, wired by God with the ability, should we choose to access them, to build a great marriage relationship. But how are we to love our wives? How are we to love them? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I don't know if you're getting the feeling here that there's a greater responsibility on us as men for the health of our marriage and a level of care for our wives that are seldom touched on. So let me just ask the question. Let me put it out there. What did Jesus do for his church? Well, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Now, there is a lot of insight here to unpack. The very fact that Jesus chose the marriage relationship to describe the relationship that he has with the church ought to tell us the depth of this relationship so many of us are in, and yet we take as commonplace. The marriage relationship, it is sacred, it is holy, and men, it deserves our attention. Our wives deserve our attention, deserve our love, and they need our love. The love our wives ought to receive from us is focused on them. We do not love others with the love that we bestow on our wife. We don't love our children, nor our friends, nor our family. And I am not just referring to the sexual side of love, though that's an important part here. Man, there ought not be another human being more important to us than our wife. And there is a trust and an affection that is reserved just for her and her alone in our life. The love of our wife, the love of our life deserves our undivided and exclusive attention. Our love is focused on them. Our attention is given to them. And when you read through the passage, you'll notice that Paul portrays Jesus as taking time to ready his bride. And there's a progression that is happening here. I mean, Jesus takes time for cleansing, sanctifying, removing spots and wrinkles, nourishing, cherishing. No shortcuts. No shortcuts are here. And from our Lord's viewpoint, there is no such thing as an instant perfect church. We know this because we are a part of a church. And we all have our own issues. So what is it saying to us as men? There is no such thing as an instant, maintenance-free, ongoing, joy-filled marriage. Jesus is constantly caring for and developing his bride, the church, and so must we, men. But there is a scoundrel. There's a scoundrel here. And this scoundrel will mess it up for us if we are not careful, if we are not wise. And you might say, well, who is it? Who is it? Because we can hear that, and that can get kind of like the conquering side of us all jazzed up to take that scoundrel out. And you'll be happy to know this morning that you can. In fact, with Jesus' help, you can blow up that scoundrel. Who is it? It's you. Men, or more specifically, it's your own selfishness. Your own selfishness. Now, I've already mentioned that we can get preoccupied with other things of less importance than our wife. And so many men, you know what? They get to the end of a destroyed marriage and they cry out, "Where did I go wrong?" And some of the most powerful and significant parts of our marriage relationship, it takes time to develop and takes time to keep them healthy. And attention was not paid to those things. Because our love must be diligent and spending the time needed with our wife. And if we are going to conquer our own selfishness, we're going to need Jesus' help. Guys, let me just add in here. We need to be the leader in the relationship. As the husband, we need to be the leader in the relationship. Christ is the leader of the church, and we are his bride. And men, we are to lead in the relationship in the marriage. And in the world we're living in today, way too many men have advocated that position of leadership to the wife. They advocate it to her. I was talking with a friend, this is a while ago now, but he's not someone from our church. Let's put that out there. It's not someone from our church. And we were talking about our marriage relationships. And he said to me, you know, for years, he has been the breadwinner and the fix-it man around the home. And yet he has not been that godly leader as the husband to his wife and his kids. But that was changing. And he used a phrase that I am pretty sure all of us have heard before. But it really stuck with me as he said it to me. He said, I had to man up and lead. I had to man up and lead. How many of us as guys, as men, need to man up and lead in our marriage relationship? Now, you might remember I mentioned God has given us as men great strengths. And making a choice like that and acting on it is one of them. See, guys, I hope, and I know this represents about 80% of us, we can do the right thing without any emotional force behind it. We can make a choice, and then, devoid of emotion, we can then act on that choice as men. And then as we start doing that good thing, it's then that we begin to feel. Because that's how God has wired us. So we can get things done. It's the right thing to do. We do, and then we feel. This is the right thing because I love my wife, but I really don't want to do this, but I know it's the right thing, so I'm going to do it. And as we start to do it, the feelings begin to come. The love is there. As we are in progress of doing the very right thing we have chosen to do. You see, guys, Jesus wants our marriages healthy and strong. And through the Holy Spirit, he will impress on you things you need to do to love and give leadership in your home and with your wife. And it can be as simple as suggesting that you pray together on a regular basis. And then you make sure it happens. Don't advocate it to your wife. You make sure it happens. Or take the time to take your wife on a date, to talk with her about the marriage, about kids, about life. And if you're really brave, I mean really brave, ask your wife how you are doing at loving her in a way that makes her feel loved. And get that information from her. Verse 26, it says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Here it is Jesus cleansing the church, but it's also referring to us as men to bring out the word of God in our homes and read it together and read it to our wives. Because the spiritual health of our wife is partly our responsibility as the husband. And we need to man up and we need to lead. And if you don't feel comfortable with doing that, if you feel kind of insecure in that role, well, there's no simple way for me to put this. So I'm just putting it out there. Get over it. Become comfortable with your uncomfortableness and lead. God has made you the man to lead in that relationship. and it is desperately needed. You know, I've learned to do a lot of things in the last 12 years that we've been living here in the GTA. I think all of us know that the GTA, it's insanely expensive. Like, it's just crazy. I mean, Brampton, oh my goodness, the insurance for your car alone, it's like crazy, highest in Canada. And so I've had to, by necessity, learn to do a lot of things I never used to have to do, trying to save money. You know, I've fixed a dishwasher, I have fixed a washing machine, a dryer, I've learned to work on my own vehicle. In fact, I've learned to change the brakes on the vehicles that we own. And can I just say right now that fixing cars scared me to death. It terrified me because I don't really know what I'm doing. But I have had a number of different friends help me and teach me over the years. Some offered help, and I said, yes, please. Others I went to, and I said, hey, could you help me learn how to do this? I just want to get better at this. And I have this one friend, let's just call him, I don't know, Jay. Jay, he was helping me with my brakes. And I realized as we were working together that he was just, like, seriously, he was only, like, this much farther ahead of me in his knowledge of cars. Now, that might make some people nervous, but I was quite happy that he was helping and sharing that little bit of knowledge. But where he was light years ahead of me was the guts to jump in and try. He had this courage. Oh, no, we can do this. We can do this. And as we're in his driveway and my brakes are all apart, I'm like, I sure hope we can. You know, and we could. And he had this courage to move forward and just dive in and work at it as we went along. And guys, sometimes that's all we really need, is some courage. We have a little bit of knowledge, and we know we want to love our wife. And so we jump in, and we begin to learn along the way, and we ask some friends for help as we go. You know, if you have never stepped up to lead in your home as a spiritual leader, well, maybe today is the first day of the rest of your life where you can do that. I mean, today might be the day you say, I will not stiff my responsibility any longer. I will become a better man. I will become a better husband for the love of my life, my wife. I will use the gifts God has given me as a man for the good of my wife, and I'm going to put selfishness aside. And you may need a friend to walk with you and help you to what that all means. Just like I had a friend help me learn how to fix brakes. You know, and please hear me. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't. It just has to be a friend that you already have a relationship with, who you see as just being a little bit ahead of you. And you ask them, hey, so what are you doing? How are you doing that? Like, what are you doing with your wife? And how can I learn that? And you ask that friend for help. See, guys, we are not good at asking for help. We're just not. And yet, it's there where we can learn so much by asking. You know, there are older saints in this church. They may have a relationship with their wife that you admire from afar. Go ask them questions. Take them for a coffee. I mean, seriously, if you walk up to some older saint and say, can I buy you a steak? I bet you he'll say yes. Take him out. It is worth the investment. And you just say, help me be a better husband. What have you done? I look at your marriage. I see it. I know it's from afar. But this is what I see. And it's something I want to, I want to be like you in my own marriage relationship. And some of you guys who are older saints, you're there. You've walked the walk. You've loved your wife. You've been the spiritual leader. You've honored her in amazing ways. And can I just say, I wish you would make yourself more available to the men who are younger in our church. Because you have good things to pass on, and they need to be passed on. You have great strengths that God has taught you that you need to pass on. See, and this is one of the beauties of having a multi-generational church, which we have, which is a core value of this family. So look for those younger guys. Talk with them. Just make yourself available to them. Come to the men's breakfast and hang out. And guys, younger guys, just talk to the older ones. Now, I confess to you this morning that I don't have this all figured out. Even as I come up on 26 years of marriage, and as I study this passage, I had more than a few tinges of guilt when I realized that I'm not measuring up in the ways I should be. I'm not being the spiritual leader my wife deserves. But I want to get better, and I need to get better. Let me give you just a few simple things that are easy for me to tell you, but are hard to consistently carry out. And you may have picked up on these already. Regularly pray with your wife. Boy, it's so easy for me to say that. It's really hard for us to accomplish. Regularly pray with your wife. And maybe to start once or twice a week, pull out God's word and read it together. Set a time. Put it on the calendar. Make sure it happens. And ask your wife, ask her for one thing, if you started doing, would encourage her and empower her. Ask her that question. And tell her how much you love her and how you want to be the best for her. And men, you might be asking, how far do I go with this? How far did Jesus go? How far did he go? Well, he went to the cross. And I wonder if this might be bringing out a motivational spark within you to live as a Christian husband. See, the call, the love for your wife calls to us as men to sacrifice time, to sacrifice your feelings, your personal rights, in order to build her up and develop her character and to promote unity and intimacy in your relationship with her. There is this relationship that we have that needs to have a yielding love. And guys, there will be all kinds of opportunities in our marriage relationship to sacrifice getting our own way, sacrifice your pride to love our wives. And you're going to feel your ego welling up within you because it happens. And those are the times we cry out for Jesus for help. Lord, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want that selfish scoundrel to hurt my marriage. Help me here. This is an important time when those things are happening to us that we need to call on the Holy Spirit to help us in our lives, to put that selfishness aside and put our wives' needs ahead of our own. And I'll say this again, the Holy Spirit is crucial here for us. You know, if he's not a part of that, the sacrifice might be forced and we might even find them downright impossible to do. Because guys, I mean, I've learned in my own self, I sure like to have my own way. I think you guys do too. And we need the help of Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be the man and the husband I think he calls us to be. Okay, guys, because I know you, I'm sure some of you are thinking right now, so where do I go with this? Do I just let my wife walk all over me? Is that what you're saying, Pastor? Well, let me ask this question. Did Jesus lose his headship of the church because of his love for the church and his sacrifice for the church? The answer is no. The answer is no, he did not. And Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus was willing to die, but for the joy set before him. See, guys, I don't think we need to fear losing the headship God has given us in our relationships with our wives. When you sacrifice your way in that relationship with your wife, when you give of yourself, when you put your own needs aside for hers, there can be a strengthening that happens in that relationship, and I would say even a healing can take place where there are hurts. And our wives are drawn into a richer, more cherished oneness with us. If you're willing to demonstrate that her interests are more important than your own. And it could be, and stick with me here, that through your sacrifices, the Spirit of God will transform your wife's character. A goal that ought to be the highest priority for us as men of God. Let me give you a quote here. The perfection of the wife's character will be the righteous to the righteous husband one of his dearest objects in life. He will desire for her that which is highest and best as for himself. He is put in charge of a soul more precious to him than any other, over which he has an influence incomparably great. Loving our wife as Christ loved the church. I'm almost done. And I'm going to close off and we'll send you out for the mums and muffins. Men, one of the greatest gifts we can give our wives is to love her like this. One of the greatest gifts we can give our children is for them to grow up seeing us love their mother like this. And I know these truths are counterculture, also at times counterintuitive, but they are from God to us. So let Mother's Day 2019 mark the day that you became a better man. And ladies, I need to speak to you for just a moment. When you see your man taking some of these steps, would you honor him as he does? I hope it will fill you with a sense of love as he seeks to love you as Christ loved the church. So encourage him. And also, guys, you're going to want to be back here on Father's Day when I go the other way and I talk to the ladies. I'm sure some of you are already thinking that better be a good message, Pastor, after this one. You know, for some of you who are single ladies this morning or you're single moms, this is the kind of man you want to marry one day. One who will love you and love the Lord first. Love Jesus first and love you second. This is the kind of man you're looking for. And I'm speaking now as a father of four daughters. If a guy ever asks you, ladies, to move in with him and live with him, or he wants to move in with you and live with you before you're married, he is not a godly man. Let me just put that out there. He's not. It ought to be evident by that request. And if he is pressuring you to have sex before marriage, he is not honoring God or you, and that is a sign of selfishness that will continue on in the marriage. Ladies, be careful and be wise and understand the worth you have as a daughter of the Lord. And lastly, I want to say thank you to all you moms who give such diligent care to your kids. And I know some of you have a huge job because you're single moms. Our hats go off to you. Our prayers are with you. The job of being a parent, it is a job that is full of great joy, but is also can be unbelievably difficult at times, and we know this. Moms, you are in a position to make a huge difference in people's lives. If you want to, please all stand. I'm just going to say a word, a prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and all you seek to teach us. Father, I thank you for moms and how much they have impacted our lives. And Father, this morning, I want to pray for the guys. Lord, I pray that none of them will try to hurt me after the service because of what I've just said. But Father, I pray they'll be inspired to live up to the calling you put on their lives. And Lord, that they might even take time to study this passage from Ephesians themselves to see the rich and deep calling that you have for us as men, as husbands, to love our wives. So God, I pray that you will bless each of us and go with us as we leave here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.